Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good morning. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. So you're glad that you are with us today. Outside of our studios, it's just 41 degrees, but it's a beautiful sunshiny day on our way to 50 today. And tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 34. The numbers look like this from Chicago at the CME group at this hour. $4.29 is the trade for the December contract for the corn. That's a half cent lower. The March at 4.38¾ is down a penny and a half, and the July futures at 4.54 at a quarter, down 1¾. November beans trading 13.22¾, three higher. January futures down 2¼, $13.12¾, and the March contract to 12.95½ is 2¾ lower. July beans 12.72¾, down 3¼. Next year's November, 3 cents lower at $11.74. Bean meal at 4.21¢ is down 2.10. Bean oil 41.21, 25 cents higher. December live cattle up 2½ cents at $132.77½ per 100 pounds. February at $134.35, that's down 15. And the November feeders at $165.10, that's the same as the trade for the January contract. November's are up 25, and the January is up 45. December lean hogs, $85.55, that's 82½ cents lower. The February futures at $89.75, down $1.02. On the phone line with us this morning from CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, is Dan Zwicker to take a look at the futures markets to talk about the cash grain, the export situation. Thanks, Dan, for taking the time with us. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine.
And what'd you find in the overnight trade and so far the trade today that you think is of much interest?
Well, the markets, I think, probably you'd have to say is more in a consolidation phase or taking a breather from the big surge up that we had there on Friday after the November crop report, and then we had some pretty good follow-through there on Monday, Tuesday. So the market, the way I would view it is more of kind of taking a breather. Here today, there's not a lot of new news today. We had Veterans Day there on Monday, so we didn't have any weekly export sales reports here for the trade to trade today. That's going to come out tomorrow. We're going to get a monthly crush number tomorrow on soybean crush. So some of the reports that are coming out this week have all been postponed today for the trade to maybe kind of take a breather. We did, though, get a 40,000-ton soybean sale to India, which is good if the FDA would move in the direction of banning trans fats. We're going to need a lot of export demand or other uses for soybean oil.
Yeah, so this trans fat policy that's coming out of FDA is kind of interesting from Washington, D.C. It could have a really big impact on the marketplace.
Oh, it's devastating to the soybean oil market, at least domestically. Either we're going to have to bump up the biofuels, diesel, to try to use it up in that form. We still have, you know, pretty good export demand for oil. I mean, a lot of underdeveloped countries still use it as a protein source. But to take it out of the U.S. shelves and out of the U.S. domestic market, we're going to have to either burn it up in biodiesel or something. So we need to watch that one pretty careful.
So maybe I should, and I have not read enough about this particular topic, so you may have to help me out here. If this policy were to come to fruition, the RFS already, as it's laid out, there was some concern that it would consume all of the vegetable oil, soybean oil for the most part, that was available. But the fear in among that was that there would be a spike in vegetable oil prices at the grocery store, and I don't see how the trans fat thing could possibly get through the process without consumers really being upset about the price of vegetable oil on the store shelf.
Yeah, but that really hasn't stopped the current administration on the regulatory front from doing anything like that. I mean, it's kind of like, not allowing any oil drilling. Well, the fracking boys fixed that one, and thank God they did, or otherwise we'd have gasoline probably, at $5. I mean, the domestic production of oil fracking coming out of Texas and North Dakota is just unreal, and that's one of the reasons. I don't know if Illinois has dropped below $3 yet or not with all the taxes on it, but we are buying gas down in the South here below $3. So I think that's, I think the, EPA, Food, Drug Administration, I mean, those agencies are all kind of like in the Wild West. They just, sign whatever regulation they want. And, there could be some consumer pushback from that. And my guess is there would be, because we would, and I'm not too much of an oil man, but I guess we would be kind of restricted to what olive oil and palm oil and some of the other vegetable oils, because soybean oil and corn oil has a lot of the trans fat in it. I think some of the other vegetable oils may not have as much in it. So that would create tremendous demand for that product. And I don't know, I guess we go back to butter like we do down here in New Orleans. Everything's cooked with a pound of butter.
Well, that has an impact on health, man.
Yeah.
It's good.
Well, it's good.
But it's bad.
It's good.
Let's talk quickly about what you see, and we only have a couple of minutes here, for corn, for beans, consolidation pattern for both, and just marking time.
Well, the soybean chart pattern is interesting, and it does go a long ways in implying that the harvest low is behind us and that we have a recovery rally in front of us. The question is what's going to be the fundamental force driving that fundamental rally? We had a weekly reversal, outside week reversal to the upside on the lead futures bean chart last week. We've got actually a good monthly reversal to the upside, at least on the charts. We still have a couple weeks to go yet, and anything can happen in a couple weeks. But at least technically, the bean chart does look like we've got a harvest low maybe in place, and we are trying to do some kind of recovery. And, just glancing at the charts, one could maybe argue that we might go back to a 13.75-ish number, maybe $14. There's a chart gap up there on the lead futures chart. I don't know exactly where that will come into place. I think that comes in at, 13.75. So that would be kind of a lead futures target for soybeans. When you take a look at corn, we had that nice price reversal to the upside there on Friday after the report, a good follow-through on Monday. Then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday here, we've kind of dripping back to where we closed at on Friday. Now, this is a support point. If the market can kind of hold here and then resume in the direction of the upside price reversal here next week, then one could maybe argue that this sideways to lower decline that we've had is more of a flag formation that maybe could argue mm-hmm. that the March futures might have a shot at going back to those highs that we had there in October, maybe even punch them out somewhere in the 460s. Now, that's about as bullish as I could probably be at this point.
Hey, thanks so much, Dan.
Very well.
Talk to you again this afternoon. Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. You're listening, of course, to WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. Coming up on the top of the hour, it's 10 o'clock Central Time. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.